Hello? Is someone there? Tom?
Sorry, Professor.
Michael?
Yes, I'm here, Professor. Is everything all right?
Yes. I'm just not sure this headset is working, Michael. Nothing seems to be happening.
No, Professor, you're right. Nothing is happening.
I can feel a sort of buzzing, although that could be my ears. They buzz sometimes when I'm nervous.
We're just completing the final checks. Thank you, Professor. You're being extremely patient.
Well, if I'd known that having a religious experience was going to be as complicated as this, I might actually have considered going to church. Buzzing stopped.
Good. Shall I talk you through the process?
Do, please.
As you know, all perception and thought is based on electrical activity in the brain.
Yes.
And through the electrodes in the helmet you're wearing, we attempt to simulate the electric pulses that cause certain brain reactions. One induces the mystical feelings we're trying for today, while others seem to provoke memories of different kinds.
I see.
The helmet itself isn't dangerous, and the electrical charge is very small. But if you do find yourself becoming frightened, then please speak up and we'll pause the experiment.
I've already said that I will, Michael. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. We heard about your son, Tom. I don't know what to say. I'm so very sorry.
Thank you, Michael. You're being very kind, really.
You're most welcome, Professor.
Grace.
Okay. Grace. Thank you. Well, I think we're ready to go. Are you ready, Grace?
As I'll ever be.
Then we'll see you on the other side.
Grace. By Mick Gordon and A.C. Grayling. Directed by Mick Gordon.
It's lovely to see you both.
It really is.
Yes. Yes, it is. Isn't it, Tom?
Yes. Yes, it's lovely.
What? What's going on?
Nothing, Mum.
Well, not nothing.
What? Are you two getting married?
No! Tony!
Dad, honestly, it's nothing. Ruth's just excited. Her family never did picnics and things.
Well, that's hardly surprising, love.
Excuse me?
Well, you had more important things to deal with, from what I gather.
So, drinks?
Oh?
From Tom? He told us about your mother?
Oh.
I was thinking Pim's.
How, you were the one who found her?
Mum.
Right.
Right. Pim's and strawberries, back in a tick.
I'm sorry. I thought...
No, it's fine.
I mean, it's best to be up front about these things, Ruth, don't you think?
Well...
Welcome to our house.
Well, maybe I did have a lot to deal with. I don't know if I can say it was any more than anyone else, particularly.
Well, I'd have to disagree, love.
Well, we're always up front about things.
What was your mother's name?
Chan.
Chan?
Kachanda. Little sunflower.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Tom.
What?
My mother was called Sarah. Sadie. Loved her statues, virgins everywhere. In many ways, she was worse than Dad.
Tom said he hit you.
Ruth?
Well, just trying to be up front.
Yes. Yes, of course you are. Yes, of course she is. Very good. Yes. He did hit me. Sometimes, but the real punishment was left to the good Lord and my guilt, of which there was always plenty. Now, what are you two up to?
Nothing.
Tom.
Do you remember when I put the ecstasy into Dad's curry? Well, that was a classic. I once spiked Dad's chicken korma with a crushed up E. Mum went absolutely mental and Dad was trying to bollock me, but he couldn't stop smiling and giggling because he was getting all loved up.
That was a bloody dangerous thing to do. Tony didn't know if he was coming or going. Oh, your father.
Oh, poor Dad.
Do you think that's what it was?
What?
That sent you to the Lord. All those drugs.
No, Mum, it's a serious thing.
Yes, yes it is, isn't it, Tom?
No, really, you two. What the hell's going on?
Tom, up front.
I've got something to tell you, Mum.
Is everything all right, Grace?
Sorry?
We'd like to try another setting, if you don't mind. Would you put the headset back on?
What? Oh! Yes, Yes, of course.
Right. Here we go.
Quiet, please, everyone. Now, imagine you're crossing a park when you strike your foot against a small object. Instinctively, you reach down to see what it is, and you find yourself picking up a stone. As you look at it, you begin to wonder how the stone came to be there. And you come to the conclusion that, for all you know, the stone has been there forever. Now, suppose that when you reach down, you don't find a stone beside your shoe. You find a watch. You pick it up, look at it, and begin to wonder how it came to be there. Now, you're hardly going to come to the same conclusion you came to before, that for all you know, the watch has been there forever. No, not at all. The watch can't have been there forever, because the watch must have had a maker. There must have existed, at some time or other, a designer of this watch. And according to William Paley, every manifestation of design that exists in the watch exists in the stone. And his conclusion is simple. The marks of design in nature are too strong to be ignored. And design must have a designer. And that designer, he insists, is God. This classic historical argument for intelligent design is known as the watchmaker argument. And William Paley made it with passionate sincerity. And he was informed by the best biological scholarship of the 18th century. But it is bollocks. Complete and utter bollocks. The only watchmaker in nature is the blind force of physics. A true watchmaker has foresight. He designs his cogs and springs and plans their interconnections with a future purpose in mind. Natural selection, the blind, unconscious, automatic process which Charles Darwin discovered, has no purpose in mind. In fact, it is purposeless. It does not plan for the future. It has no vision, no foresight, no sight at all. So, if natural selection can be said to play the role of watchmaker in nature, it is the blind watchmaker. If anyone uses the term bollocks in their essay, they will automatically fail.
Excuse me, Professor?
Michael? Yes?
You said something.
No. Just a memory.
Ah.
A lecture I used to give. Please continue with the experiment.
As you wish, Grace.
Are you going to say anything to your son?
No, I'm going to get something to eat.
Tony!
It won't matter, love. When has anyone ever done anything because of something someone else has said? I'm with Freud on this one. The only thing that motivates people is sex and aggression.
You don't know the first thing about Freud.
I most certainly do.
You do not.
I do.
You don't, Dad.
Yes, I do.
Name one thing you've read.
Oh, don't be so silly. No one actually reads Freud.
I read Freud.
Well, that really is messed up.
You are not becoming a priest.
I'm not asking your permission, Mother. I'm telling you what I'm doing and asking what you think.
An Anglican priest. You're asking for a clip round the ear.
Just like I said, sex and aggression, all you need to understand...
Shut up and stay here.
Should have known better.
You're doing fine.
And what do you think about this?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet? What about everything you stand for, Ruth? You're a lawyer, for Christ's sake. What about decisions based on evidence?
What do you mean you don't know yet?
I don't know yet.
Well, I do, and I'll tell you exactly what I think.
Grace, don't.
Don't me. You coward.
Love.
If our son wants to know what I think, Tony, I'm going to tell him exactly what I think. What I think is, Tom, what I think is that your ignominious toying with faith has always been an extremely irritating adolescent reaction to this family, and not just to me, but also to your father. But that this decision of yours, and at your age, you're too old for this type of teenage revenge. A priest. It's ridiculous, Tom. It's absurd.
I know you'll find this hard to believe, Mum, but my decision is not actually about you.
She will find that hard to believe.
He gets it from you.
How does he get it from me? He doesn't want to be a rabbi, does he? Why don't you want to be a rabbi? I can't believe I just asked that question. But seriously, why don't you want to be... No, stop. Stop it, please. Everyone ignore me.
I'm doing the training, whatever any of you think. This isn't me just fiddling in my bath. I'm serious. I'm very serious. There's 2,000 years of scholarship and questioning. 2,000 years of inspiration and exploration.
What's wrong, son?
Nothing's wrong.
This is all my fault. That summer when you went off to America to build those houses, that was the beginning of this.
No.
That con-creationist born-again shitwit.
Oh, Grace, really?
He was a lunatic.
He was a lunatic. He gave you all those pamphlets and you were completely seduced. He targeted you, Tom. He knew you were my son.
Well, I thought you'd at least be happy for me.
How could you possibly think I'd be happy for you?
I don't know.
We've given you everything. You have wanted for nothing. What is wrong? Something must be wrong.
Nothing is wrong.
I'm pregnant.
Well, right. Well, that's... congratulations, Mazel Tov. Well... congratulations.
Thank you, Tony.
No, really, I mean it. Congratulations. Honestly, to both of you, from both of us. Really.
Tom?
Pregnant? We're pregnant?
Yeah.
Congratulations, son. Congratulations!
Shall we continue, Professor? Shall we go on? Grace? Do you want to go on?
Yes. Yes, we should. We should.
All right. If you're sure.
What do you think about it?
Well, you know, I was surprised, but I have to say I'm genuinely very happy for him. I am. I mean, I think it was a bit of a shock, but he'll be a great dad and she's smashing.
No, Tony. This priest crap.
Oh, right, yes, right, that. Well, I mean, look on the bright side. Who's going to take a priest called Friedman seriously?
Tony.
He's got a degree in philosophy. What did you expect?
A rationalist.
Know then thyself. Presume not God to scan. The proper study of mankind is man.
Damn right. Who is that?
The Pope.
The Pope? Which Pope?
There is only one Pope, Alexander Pope.
Answer my question.
Well, you know, Tom's always been a romantic.
So have you.
But he's cleverer than me, and he's had way too much education, so I can see why he likes Christianity over Judaism. I mean... the Holy Trinity and all that takes some mental gymnastics, that God in three parts stuff. I guess it's sufficiently complicated for him, and I don't know. He seems happy. Can't you hate the sin and love the sinner?
I feel like a failure.
Oh, love, don't.
Don't tell me what to feel, Tony.
Then don't tell Tom what to believe. If anyone tried telling you what to think, you'd hate it. And it doesn't matter that you're right, it doesn't matter at all. He's going to do what he wants, with or without us. So come on, sweet moderation, heart of this nation.
Desert us not, we are between the wars. Billy Bragg.
Hello, son.
But are you disagreeing with me?
No, I'm not. I'm just adding a bit of popular culture to the proceedings.
Because I don't think you understand how important this is.
I really do.
What's this?
In our world, with what we are capable of.
One guess.
The violence we are capable of.
Did you know that the Dalai Lama fixes watches?
What?
I thought you could use it in the blind watchmaker bit. He's mad on small gadgets, apparently. Loves repairing them.
Really?
Well, apparently.
Where do you get this stuff from?
No idea.
So, what are we going to do?
About what?
Him.
Nothing. Be nice.
Be nice?
Because it's our son.
I thought we watched the news together, Tony, don't we? How many die? How many? And four gods. Four gods! It's the 21st century, for Christ's sake.
Oh, don't open that door.
You bear a heavy responsibility in all of this.
How?
Because your lot provide cover for these nutters.
Grace, stop!
Be nice. It's the heart of the issue. The basic problem. Because you and your religious moderation serve as a fig leaf for religious extremism. Religious moderates. If there really can be such a thing, which I very much doubt when push comes to divine shove, religious moderates bear a huge responsibility for encouraging religious violence. Because their language and beliefs
My
provide...
My language and beliefs.
Yes, son, yes, because you're... Where are you going, Tony?
You'll regret this, Grace.
Coward! Because your language and your beliefs provide the context in which scriptural literalism and religious violence can never be adequately opposed.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I mean, yeah, it's a problem. It haunts me. Do I provide cover for the nutters?
Yes.
For the fanatics?
Yes.
For the lunatics?
Yes.
Yes. Am I defending a whole, you know, which actually has about it all sorts of things that I loathe, I hate. The violent, but I think, and I'm becoming quite convinced, that the dangerous situation to get into is to see the world as a battle between those that have religion and those that don't, where those that have religion are defined as zealots. Whereas for me, there's a really important role for those who want to say, we need to have better religion.
That's just selfish, Tom.
No, it's not. It's not selfish.
It's the excuse that allows you to hold on to this absurd leap of faith you make.
No, what I'm trying to do is to help people feel that it's fine to be thinking, moderate, self-critical and religious. And they're not the most dangerous people in the world, Mum. They're not the ones to lose sleep over. If I provide cover... I provide cover for that lot. I don't provide cover for sexist, homophobic, bigoted people who put bombs on planes. But life is complicated. And even the most ardent atheist has to admit that life's not straightforward. I am an Enlightenment person. And I'm religious.
That's contradiction in terms.
Exactly, and I live with that. That's what I am.
No, you can't have it both ways. It's faith or reason. You have to choose.
It's not a matter of which side I'm on.
Son, grow up. Yes, it is.
Contradictions are what people are. Bundles of contradictions. Fighting them and working them out. And I refuse to be dictated to by your overly simplistic logic-chopping approach to life.
I beg your pardon.
Well... You always want to limit experience to the cold theoretical, but I'm telling you, the truth has to be sieved in lots of different ways.
No. No, it doesn't. I can't believe I'm hearing this. Have I taught you nothing? It's exactly this kind of slippery talk that needs attacking. Talk that allows religion to demand being treated reasonably. Because it shouldn't be, because religion is not reasonable. Rigorous rationality, proportioning belief to evidence, may be overly simplistic, logic chopping, but it's the only outlook we can truly rely
on. So let's take religion out of society.
You're not listening.
And while you're about it, let's take away sex. Dad's right about that. Sex and aggression, it's what most of the fights are about on Saturday night. So let's get rid of it. Let's do test tubes.
I'm not advocating a fascist state where everyone walks around in white suits and smiles.
I don't live in your world, Mum. I live in the real world where religion is present everywhere.
And that's precisely the problem. Because the ultimate basis of religious morality, whatever updated gloss you want to put on it, is divine command. Well, it's too dangerous.
I'm not trying to pretend that it's not dangerous sometimes. I think that's absolutely the case. But I am trying to be realistic and pragmatic here, OK? Because we have to ask ourselves, who is more likely to defeat bad religion, good religion or atheism? Now, that is a question. A real question. So stop attacking me because I am your hope. Because you're never going to turn the world's religious into atheists. If that's what your battle is, if that's what you're trying to do, you're going to lose. The best we can hope for is to turn bad, violent religion into better religion, and that is what I am trying to do. So no, I'm not providing cover for the nutters, and by wasting your time attacking me, it's your absurd purism which is letting them off the hook, because you're never going to win that battle.
We've made too many concessions to religious belief. It's the most pernicious source of conflict in our world today. And you, my son, are one of its salesmen.
And you are the fundamentalist.
Get out. Tom? Tom, come back. Tom?
Only me.
Sorry? I thought...
No.
I couldn't stop myself, Tony.
Neither could Tom, by the sound of it.
Why couldn't I stop myself?
Come here.
Oh.
It'll be all right.
Will it?
We'll all go out for a curry and take some ecstasy.
Do you remember that?
Every time I hear music with a drum beat...
What are we going to do, Tony? What are we going to do?
Guess where Dad took me?
Bengal tiger.
Yeah. And we started talking, and I told him I was going to ask you to marry me.
What?
Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah. And he said to me, are you sure you're doing the right thing?
What?
Yeah.
It's a little late for that, isn't it?
That's what I said.
That's your bloody mother, that is.
No, it's not. He said it's what fathers are supposed to do.
It's your mother.
So we'd had a few beers, and I tell Dad what I'm planning. And he says, are you sure you're doing the right thing? And then he said, pass me that napkin. So I passed him the napkin, and he said, down the middle, draw a line down the middle, and put all the sorts of pluses and all the minuses for why this is a good thing. And so I drew all this, and I tried to write down all the pluses. So, you know, she's cute and stuff.
She's cute?
And stuff.
Tom.
Lots of stuff.
Have you still got this napkin?
Stop it. No, listen to me. So you do the whole list of things and then you suddenly realise, or I did at least, I realised that that list could never add up to what I was about to do. However poetic or intelligent or clever or in touch with my own emotions I was, the sum total of that list on the plus side... could never equal, I love this person and want to marry them forever.
Tom, you know how much I love you.
Yes. And it's why I need to explain this. That there comes a point when my justifications just run out. But I know that becoming a priest is just what I have to do, just like I do about marrying you. I just know. And that's the area where my faith is located. And it's... not on the list.
Is this a proposal, Tom? Because if it is, I mean, do you really expect me to say yes?
I'm serious.
So am I.
I know you're finding this difficult, and you're being brilliant to me, but I really want you to understand, and the nearest analogy to it I think I can find is love. Love. You're going to give away your whole life, commit your whole life to this one person on the basis of this feeling. And what is it, this feeling? You could find an expert to say... to reduce love to some sort of chemical imbalance in the brain or to some sort of sociological need or whatever it is, you could do that so as to undermine... Well, I'd say, thank you very much, but actually I'm still not interested. This love is more real to me than however true those explanations are. So there's something not on the list, something that exceeds the list. And I give myself over to that, do you see? Is it better to be in love or not in love? I don't know. I'm in love. And it's not on the list.
Because I don't believe in God, Tom. And I really don't. And maybe I won't mind church sometimes because I like the rituals somehow. But I don't believe, and I don't want you to try and persuade me or our children. Now, is that going to be too difficult for you?
I'm not sure that I believe in God, that God exists. I'm not really sure... existence is the right word. The closer I get to it, the less it seems to be there, but it just won't go away.
Is it going to be too difficult for you?
I love you, and I know you love me.
I'm reconsidering.
Marry me.
Is it going to be too difficult for you that I don't believe in God, Tom?
Is it going to be too difficult for you that I do? Marry me, Ruth. Marry me.
And what did you say, Ruth?
He didn't ask.
Oh, I'm so sorry, love.
Yeah.
He didn't ask?
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
But do you know what he would have wanted?
Yeah.
He means for the funeral.
I know.
You do?
He wanted a mass.
A mass?
He thought it was beautiful, somehow.
Right.
No.
Right.
That's what he wanted.
No way. A mass?
That's what he wanted.
No, no. A private ceremony is enough.
Enough? Would Tom think it was enough?
Ruth, the people who did this, the people who murdered my son, who murdered all those innocent...
Tom wasn't killed because of what he believed, Grace.
Tom was killed because of what they believed.
Tom was killed because he was there, just because he was...
Ruth, think. Be reasonable.
How? How?
It's wrong. We can't.
I am going to bury Tom the way he wanted.
No.
We have to.
I won't have it.
Grace, love.
Tony, help me, please.
We have to.
No.
Stop, both of you. Just please stop.
If you deny Tom the funeral he wanted, I swear to Christ, Grace, you will not be part of your grandchild's life. Did you hear what I said?
Can you hear me, Professor?
Sorry?
Because I promise you, Grace.
Yes, I heard you. I heard.
We can hear you, Professor. Is everything all right? Grace, is everything all right?
Memories. Only memories. Keep going, please. I must keep going.
Please don't take too many pills.
Don't tell me what to do, Tony. You're going to leave me?
No.
It's just I thought you might need to because of...
No.
How I've been behaving.
Yeah.
If I were you, I'd...
You're not me.
Perhaps you should think about it.
Oh, don't tell me what to do, Grace.
No. Sorry. I couldn't let...
I know.
Tom's funeral... I couldn't let...
I'm not sure we were right about that. Look, you should call Ruth.
I can't.
Call Ruth and say sorry.
Tony, I keep seeing him everywhere.
Call Ruth.
Has Tony been to the grave?
He came here last year. Said a prayer in Hebrew. It was beautiful.
I feel embarrassed, Ruth. I'm sorry.
You really bloody should be. 2 years, Grace, you're an idiot. With you and Tom, it was always the same. It was always about love. You loved your work, he loved his God. You loved your son, he loved his mother. God, how he wanted your approval. And Tony, poor Tony, he looks so sad now. Lost his sense of humour, but... And how you love Tony is so weird. But I know how much he loves you. And that's why I love Tom and his messed up family, because of all that passionate love whooshing around. And I did love it. Love you all. Even you, who were so rude all the time. I even loved you. But you know, I'm less sure about love these days. Love? What is it? I mean, you could tell me, couldn't you, Grace? Of course you could. You could describe it, use the correct language, delineate and separate and explain. Explain this thing, this feeling... This feeling that we can't do anything much about except inflict on other people, or try not to, but that's very difficult. And well, that's the problem. And I do understand. I get it. I do. I get it. I look at little Chan and she's so helpless and she's mine and my responsibility, and I get it over and over and over. That's why I think it's wrong, completely wrong, to give love such status, such celebrity, when it's just so unbelievably dangerous. I would kill for that child. Mutilate someone. Like Tom was mutilated. You know. And I think, coming to think, believe, in fact, that it's kindness, Grace. Kindness, that's the big one. Not love. That's what I'm coming to believe, Grace. And it's probably the more boring, definitely, kindness, because it's calm and considerate and hesitant and certainly the more difficult one to do, I find. Anyway, I really do. And I might not have had much love at home, but I had that and I didn't even notice. It didn't even occur until... My mum... Remember, you said Tom told you, do you? Well, I didn't understand. Before she killed herself, she redid her will, cleared out her cupboards and kept this. She threw away her perfumes. Her perfumes, all of them. She threw them away, you know, so we wouldn't have to smell her. And Mum, I tell her, Grace, I talk to her. And I didn't understand, Mum, but I think that you were actually trying to be kind. And you wanted to leave everything neat and tidy. And I didn't understand until they blew my life up. And what happened to all those people and Tom? Just because he was there. Just because he was there. And when I started to love him and let him love me, I thought I'd found what I'd been missing and I lost him, but this time with such a mess. Such a ferocious mess. And I thought about my mum and how tidy she'd been. I was baptised after she died. Well, I never told Tom. Didn't last. And the thing is that I think about Tom, and I've waited until now to say it, waited for my chief witness to arrive at your grave, because she was right about one thing, Tom. She was right about me being a coward. Because I'm not sure I was going to be able to marry you. Really, I'm not sure I was going to be able to. He did ask me. Of course. He asked and I lied to you because you didn't deserve the truth. Because I suspect, and this is the truth, Tom, I suspect that you were going to love your God more than you were going to love me, and I've been thinking about that tortured man twisted on his cross, and I understand the inspiration, but, you know, I need to be the most important thing. I need that because of everything, and... But we have a beautiful baby. We absolutely do. And she has your eyes, and I'm okay when I look at them, most of the time. And I miss you. I tell her about you. I try to. And your dad does a dance when he's singing her to sleep. And the Queen of Hearts is still down here, swinging away with her axe. And she has never seen her granddaughter because...
I see him everywhere.
Do you?
Yes.
I don't. Just in Chan.
When Tom was born, I understood something about life. That I wasn't at the centre of it anymore. It was a shock. Well, you know. You know exactly the strength of that feeling. And of course you could kill for that feeling. Tony always said so. And with having Tom...
You should tell him.
Talk to ghosts. Not really my style.
Yeah? How's your style been working for you, Grace? Good, is it?
And with having Tom...
You?
Don't bully me, Ruth. I'm here.
Try. And with having you...
Life seemed to make more sense.
And with having you...
Please.
And with having
you... Life seemed to make more sense somehow, and I wasn't there enough, and I never told him. But I thought it was important, because you can't be there all of the time. And we have to learn, we have to know that we're on our own in this world. There's no cosmic purpose, no divine plan.
Enough, so. Grace! Enough! Eh? And to think you used to lecture me about being upfront.
And all this faith, these promises of heavens and hells to come, God, well, it's absurd. It's absurd and dangerous. And it's wrong. An overly simplistic, logic-chopping approach, Tom called it. He couldn't be satisfied with a rational outlook. Wanted to turn violent religion into better religion. Better religion! And somewhere inside me, so help me, some splinter, some disgusting splinter inside of me thinks, and so help me, this is true, thinks that you, Tom, you stupid, stupid, earnest, beautiful, beautiful boy of mine, that in some way you got what you deserved. Killed for a god. Murdered for a god. You got what you deserved. I'm sorry, son, but I keep thinking it. I know it's not true, but it's why I'm being so cruel to anyone who shows me anything but pain, because I don't want pity. I want scorn. I want scorn!
Who are you screaming at, you mad woman? Have you gone crazy? This is a churchyard.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, right. Look, blow your nose. You're as bad as your granddaughter. I'm going to light a candle. Want to come? Even atheists need to light the occasional candle.
I'm just going to sit here for a while.
Okay. See you in a bit.
Is there someone there?
Only me.
Tom.
Who else?
Who else?
So, you've been invited to Canada?
Yes. There's a neurologist out there trying to give people religious experiences.
In Canada?
Hmm.
That sounds a bit suspicious, if you ask me.
You're as bad as your father. But Tony says I should go. Thinks it would do me good. Makes it sound like a pilgrimage.
Could be.
Yeah.
How is he?
He's sad, son. He's really sad. He misses you terribly. He tries to hide it for my sake.
Poor Dad.
And I've been no help working, lecturing. Horrible, you can imagine.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I mean, yeah. I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
How do they give it to you, the religious experience?
You have to wear this sort of motorcycle helmet.
Motorcycle helmet?
Mm. It holds the electrodes in the correct position.
Electrodes?
Then they administer electromagnetic impulses to the brain.
Electromagnetic impulses?
They call it the God helmet.
But you didn't see anything, Grace?
Not exactly. It was more like feeling something. Presence.
Like a ghost?
It's,
Professor?
It's difficult to explain.
Well, the process stimulated the right hemisphere of your brain and then the left, the region that controls ideas of self, followed by the language center, which usually interprets the stimulation as a sort of sensed entity.
Right. Well, that must have been it then.
And this man actually gets paid to do this?
He thinks it's this stimulation that's responsible for almost anything we sense as paranormal. Aliens, heavenly apparitions, dead relatives, the implications are huge.
Well, I for one prefer life to have a little more mystery. And I refuse to let anyone reduce my sense of the spiritual to brain static. Especially a Canadian.
He's not a Canadian, he's an American.
What's he doing in Canada then?
It's just where he works.
Come off it, no one just works in Canada. The God Helmet talk about leading the witness.
You were the one who told me to go.
Right.
So who did you see?
Sense.
Sorry, sense. Who did you sense, Grace?
Did you sense anyone?
Well, it's very difficult to explain.
Try.
Well.
Oh, here we go again.
Saved by the baby.
I'll go.
No, stay where you are.
No, I mean, I'd like to, if that's okay.
Yes, Grace, of course it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ruth.
Are you okay?
Sometimes. You?
Sometimes.
Thanks for coming.
Nice to see Grace.
Yeah. Oh. Look, I found something the other day, and I didn't know if I should just throw it away, but in the end I didn't, and, well, here.
What is it? A napkin? She's cute. Oh, Tony.
Hello there. And what's wrong with you? Yes. Come. And give Grandma a big hug. That's right. And then she'll tell you all about the blind watchmaker. Yes, you like the sound of that, don't you? The blind watchmaker. Bloody got you both, didn't I? Blind watchmaker. I got you. I know I got you. I know I got them.
She didn't get me.
Me neither.
I'm starving. Do you want something to eat?
Yeah, I'll come with you.
Come on.
I got you. Yes, Grandma got them, didn't she? Yes, she did. Grandma got them because Grandma's very clever. Isn't she? Yes. Oh, and just look at your beautiful, beautiful eyes. Just look. Gosh. Exactly like your dad. That's right, love. Exactly like your dad.
In Grace by Mick Gordon and A.C. Grayling, Paola Dionisotti played Grace. Trevor Peacock was Tony. Priyanga Burford, Ruth. Will Keane, Tom. And Nathan Osgood, Michael Persinger. Original music was composed by John Frankel, and sound design was by Simon Willey. The play was directed by Mick Gordon. Grace was produced by Richard Bannerman and Andy Jordan and was a Ladbroke Radio production for BBC Radio 4.